Thank you for having me here today. It's a blessing. I actually was supposed to be here almost a year ago, and then my wife passed away, and so that kind of got delayed, but I'm glad to be here today. So happy Mother's Day, everyone. My key verse is going to be out of Genesis, and it's going to be chapter 17, verse 16. There we go, verse 16. It says, "And I will bless her and also give you a son by her. Then I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations." So we're going to talk about some great women of the Bible. We're going to be talking about how their strength and their willingness to listen to God kind of shaped not only their lives, but the lives of some other people. And I also like on the bulletin the use of the Proverbs, prudent wife is from the Lord, because that is so true. I have been blessed to have one of those in my life, and hope to find one again. So anyway, let's pray. Father, I just ask that you help me up here today, or that you help me to say what you want me to say, that you guide me, and that the people that are here that will open up their hearts and their ears, and they'll receive what you have for them today as we celebrate the great women, not only of the Bible, but the great women that are here, the great women of our lives, our moms. In Jesus' name, amen. So today is the day we're going to celebrate mom. So let's do it. When we look at what a definition of a mother is, Free Dictionary says a mother is a woman who has given birth to a child. Another definition of mother is the woman who gave birth to you, or someone who brings you up that did not give birth to you, because we have some of those as well. You don't necessarily have to give birth to be a mom. And I'm thankful for those women that can do that, that can actually take and raise a child as if it's their own, because that's a special gift. Lastly, mothering requires a subtle intuitiveness for which there can never be an adequate preparation for any job. I mean, let's face it, moms, right? How true is that? Raising children didn't come with training or a self-help book. I mean, you kind of did it, right? But if you look at the Bible and read and study the Word of God, He reveals to us how to raise children. And for those of us who have done that, you could do, and you can raise your children, and you can do it according to what God's Word says, and you've done your job. Now it's up to them to go and take what you have given them and to live. And sometimes it doesn't work out so good. Sometimes they give you gray hair. Sometimes they make you lose your hair. I mean, but you still love them, right? A mother's love is unconditional. My mom had unconditional love for me. I know that. It's just great. Mothers are also considered a matriarch, one who rules a family, who handles the situations of daily life. It takes a strong woman to be a mother, one who not only shows the love and compassion of Christ, but one who can also discipline when needed. Now, there have been many great women who have been strong matriarchs in their family. One that comes to my mind, of course, in here modern day is Queen Elizabeth. I know my mom was pretty strong. She did the best that she could with what she had. She had to put up with me. And that wasn't exactly the easiest thing to do growing up, but she did it. And she loved me. No matter what my shortfalls were, she loved me. And believe me, I made her cry quite a few times. It doesn't make me proud to say that, but, you know, kids have the tendency to do that every once in a while. So this leads me to my first point. Mothers are the matriarch of the family. There are many different examples of strong women in the Bible. Let's take Sarah, for example. Sarah is considered the matriarch of the Hebrew Bible. She was the wife of Abraham and the mother of Isaac. As a matter of fact, the Hebrew name Sarah can be translated as noble woman. I mean, when you look at your mom, right, you look at her as this woman who's strong. You look at her as a woman who is there. She takes care of whatever needs to be done. And you wonder how she does a lot of the stuff that she does. And you, at least in my estimation, I consider my mom to be like all the it. She was like the queen. So, and she didn't expect that. But when mom said, you did. And of course, she'd give you that look and you did it. But anyway, so Sarah can be translated as noble woman. Sarah, who had been barren, had not been able to conceive a child and was given a promise by God that despite her advanced age, that she would give birth to a son. So let's give you the story to lead up to all this and start with Genesis chapter 17, verses 1 through 8. When Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abraham and said to him, I am Almighty God. Walk before me and be blameless, and I will make my covenant between me and you will multiply and will multiply you exceedingly. Then Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be a father of many nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings shall come from you. Come on now, that's pretty powerful stuff. When God can just stand there and say, hey, I'm going to change your name, and you're going to be a father of many nations. As a matter of fact, out of that, you're going to have kings that are going to rule because of you. It's going to come out of your lineage, out of your family. And God goes on to say, and I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you and their generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and your descendants after you. Also, I give to you and your descendants after you the land in which you are a stranger and the land of Canaan as an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. So here we are. God is making a covenant with Abraham. And not only did he tell Abraham that he's going to multiply him exceedingly, but he said he'll be the father of many nations, establishing an everlasting covenant for him and his descendants. God even changes his name from Abram to Abraham. Now, when God does that, it reveals either a character change or a major call from God. Abram's name is changed from exalted father to father of a multitude. So God is saying, hey, if I'm going to make you the father of nations, you need to have a name change. So you're going to be Abraham because you're going to be a father of a multitude. Now you may be saying to yourself, why is he talking about Abraham and not Sarah? Because it is Mother's Day, right? And we're trying to talk about some of the great women of the Bible. Well, it's because I just need to set the scene for what is about to happen next. Beginning with verse 15. Then God said to Abraham, as for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. And I will bless her and also give you a son by her. Then I will bless her and she'll be a mother of nations. Kings of peoples shall be from her. Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born to a man who is 100 years old? And shall Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child? And Abraham said to God, oh, that Ishmael might live before you. Then God said, no, Sarah, your wife, shall bear you a son, and you shall call his name Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant with his descendants after him. And as for Ishmael, I have heard you. Behold, I will bless him and will make him fruitful and will multiply him exceedingly. He shall beget 12 princes, and I will make him a great nation. So not only is God saying, hey, I'm going to give Sarah, your wife, a son, her first child, but I'm also going to give your son, Ishmael, I'm going to make him a great leader. And then God goes on to say, but my covenant I will establish with Isaac, whom Sarah shall bear to you at this set time next year. Then he finished talking with him, and God went up from Abraham. Now, if you notice, not only did God change Abraham's name, but he also changed the name of Sarai to Sarah. Both names mean princess. So, a noble woman, right? God promised Sarah, despite her age, that she's going to have a son, and it was going to be made possible because of her and Abraham's faithfulness to God. You see, had they not been faithful to God, none of this would have happened. But because of their faithfulness to God, and God knowing their hearts, he granted them their wish. She had wanted a child for years, but could not have one. Abraham, who laughed because all this was incredible to him, and it was almost unbelievable, and his laughter was somewhat ironic too, because Isaac means, may God smile upon him. So God was smiling upon him, and Abraham was laughing there. And not only did he, you know, not only smiling, but making Abraham the father of many nations, but Sarah as the matriarch, as God promised, many descendants to Sarah. So there you go. A strong woman, a mother, is a matriarch. And Sarah was going to be a matriarch to many nations. This leads me to my next point. Mothers are willing to make sacrifices for their children. Let's look at the book of Esther, another strong woman in the Bible. Esther was a Jewish queen of the Persian king. Now, I'm not going to say this right because I'm bad with these Old Testament names. The Persian king, Ahasuerus. Now, Esther's story is one of has many twists and turns as to how she became the queen, but it was through her position as queen and the favor of God that she was able to save the Jewish people of the land. You see, there was this man named Haman who had been promoted by the king to a seat above all the princes. Haman became upset when Esther's uncle, Mordecai, refused to bow before him. And that upset Haman, who then went before the king, telling him, and beginning in Esther chapter 3, verse 8, this is Haman saying to the king, there is a certain people scattered and dispersed among the people in all the provinces of your kingdom. Their laws are different from all other peoples, and they do not keep the king's law. Therefore, is it not fitting for the king to let them remain? If it pleases the king, let a decree be written that they be destroyed, and I will pay 10,000 talents of silver into the hands of those who do the work, to bring it to the king's treasuries. So the king took his signet ring from his hand, giving it to Haman. And the king said to Haman, the money and the people are given to you to do with them as seems good to you. So here, the king giving his signet ring to Haman, it was a sign of delegating full royal authority. So he had given full royal authority here to Haman. And the plan was set forward to destroy and kill all the Jews. And once a king's authority is given and a decree is made, it's usually carried out rather quickly. Once Mordecai, Queen Esther's uncle, heard of this, then he stepped into action. He had to hurry to get to Esther. And because And this was not only a dangerous proposition for Mordecai, but also for Queen Esther at the time, because Queen Esther didn't let the king know that she was Jewish. So now we continue on in Esther chapter 5. Now it happened on the third day that Esther put on her royal robes and stood in the inner court of the king's palace across from the king's house, while the king sat on the royal throne in the royal house facing the entrance of the house. So it was when the king saw Queen Esther standing in the court that she found favor in his sight, and the king held out to Esther the gold scepter that was in his hand. Then Esther went near and touched the top of the scepter, and the king said to her, "What do you wish, Queen Esther? What is your request? It shall be given to you up to half the kingdom." So Esther answered, "If it pleases the king, let the king and Haman come today to the banquet that I have prepared for him." Then the king said, "Bring Haman quickly, that he may do as Esther has said." So the king and Haman went to the banquet that Esther had prepared. At the banquet of wine, the king said to Esther, "What is your petition? It shall be granted to you. What is your request? Up to half the kingdom it shall be done." Then Esther answered and said, "My petition and request is this. I have found favor in the sight of the king, and if it pleases the king to grant my petition and fulfill my request, then let the king and Haman come to the banquet which I prepare for them, and tomorrow I will do as the king said." So here, Esther is being used wisely and shrewdly by God to prevent the destruction and the killing of all the Jews. She understands the importance of waiting for God's timing before making his request. And when Haman saw that Mordecai was standing at the king's gate, not trembling in his sight, this upset Haman even more. And then Haman put into plan a place to have gallows built 50 cubits high, or about 75 feet. Now, as they say, the plot begins to thicken just a little bit. Esther chapter 7 begins with, "So the king and Haman went to dine with Queen Esther, and on the second day at the banquet of wine, the king again said to Esther, 'What is your petition, Queen Esther? It shall be granted to you. And what is your request? Up to half the kingdom, it shall be done.' And Queen Esther answered and said, 'If I have found favor in your sight, O king, and if it pleases the king, let my life be given me at my petition and my people at my request. For we have been sold, my people and I, to be destroyed, to be killed, and to be annihilated. Had we been sold as male and female slaves, I would have held my tongue, although the enemy could never compensate for the king's loss.' So the king answered and said to Queen Esther, 'Who is he? And where is he? And who would dare presume in his heart to do such a thing?' And then Esther said, 'The adversary and enemy is the wicked Haman.'" Oh, now Haman must be sweating right about now, because he's just been thrown under the proverbial bus. So Haman was terrified before the king and queen. Then the king rose in his wrath from the banquet of wine and went into the palace garden. But Haman stood before Queen Esther, pleading for his life, for he saw that evil was determined against him by the king. When the king returned from the palace garden to the place of the banquet of wine, Haman had fallen across the couch where Esther was. Then the king said, "Will he also assault the queen while I'm in the house?" As the word left the king's mouth, they covered Haman's face. Now Harbona, one of the eunuchs, said to the king, "Look, the gallows 50 cubits high, which Haman made for Mordecai, who spoke good on the king's behalf, is standing at the house of Haman." Then the king said, "Hang him on it." So they hanged Haman on the gallows that he had prepared for Mordecai, and the king's wrath subsided. See, when you plan to do evil against God's protected people, usually the table gets turned on you rather quickly. and it did in this case against Haman. See, Queen Esther was also willing to sacrifice all to save the Jews, proving that moms do make sacrifices because she was considered the queen of the Jews. So queens are considered motherly as well. So she was willing to sacrifice her own life to save her people. Last point I want to make is that mothers are willing to take on the responsibility to care for the gift of a child that is given to them by God. This leads me to the last woman of the Bible I want to talk about the mother who would carry the child who would save the world. That would be the Virgin Mary, the mother of Jesus. Who was the Virgin Mary, mother of Jesus? Well, she was a daughter of the royal family, descended from David, and she herself and all her friends knew it, even though she was poor and low in the world. She was enabled by God's providence in the care of the Jews to preserve their genealogies. She was a virgin, a pure, unspotted one, but espoused to one of the same royal stock like her. However, of low estate, so that both accounts there were an equality were between them, Christ's mother was a virgin because he was not born by ordinary means. So God had to use a clean vessel, right? A virgin, someone who was pure. And she got pregnant through pure means, through the miracle of Christ, who had to be, who is a spotless, sinless, stainless lamb. That's the only way this would have ever worked out. And it was just a beautiful, beautiful thing that how God used Mary to carry and to birth the Savior of the world. The Virgin Mary, an example of godly motherhood. Mary was sought out by God. In Luke 1, verses 26 through 28, it says, "Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. Having come in, the angel said to her, 'Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women.' So she joined many others, Adam and Eve in the garden, Noah in the pre-flood world, Abram in Ur, Saul on the road to Damascus. God is in the people seeking business, and he knew Mary. He was seeking her. God is seeking you today. But the only way this would have worked is if Mary was humble. And she was. Luke 1:29 says, "But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was." She had no airs, no pride, just a humble, troubled heart that anyone would even say such a thing. She knew her own heart certainly, and God would too. So she was humble. How many times do moms have to humble themselves in order to take care of their kids? How many times do moms make sacrifices to take care of their kids? How many sleepless nights do moms have taking care of or praying for their kids? Mary also partook of God's grace. She was saved by God. Luke 1:30. "Then the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God.'" See, Mary joined the countless multitude of heirs of life eternal by God's grace. Marvelous grace of our loving Lord. Grace that exceeds our sin and our shame. Yonder on Calvary's Mount, outpoured where the blood of the Lamb was shed. You see, she found that favor with God, and God used her not because she deserved it, but because she was willing to sacrifice herself humbly, and God's grace saved her. God used her. And lastly, Mary had an incredible ministry opportunity. Luke 1:31 to 33. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great. He'll be called the Son of the Highest, the Lord of God, and will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. You see, to produce within her body tiny hands that would someday touch lepers with a healing touch, to form a mouth within her womb that would speak the very word of God, to feel the kick of the feet that would walk across the roads of Israel, spreading the gospel. See, what an incredible ministry opportunity she had. And she was willing to do it. And she did. Moms are not only beautiful, but they're strong. Willing to sacrifice. Take on the responsibility of caring for God's greatest gift of a child. You know, there's an old country song sung by Jimmy Dean. It's called I Owe You. It's a song where he lists all the things that he owes his mom through all the years, from cooking to cleaning to bodyguarding and medical attention. But he ends the song by saying that his IOUs add up more than he could ever hope to repay. But he goes on to say the nice thing about it all, that he knows that she'll mark the entire bill paid in full by a kiss and just simply saying, I love you, Mom. You see, moms who have the heart of Jesus forgive any debts by just hearing those words, I love you. Just like Jesus, who died on the cross for our sins, he paid our debts, and we can collect on the paid in full mark by just saying to Jesus, I love you. Come into my heart and save me from my sins. So on this Mother's Day, I say to you, Mom, thank you for what you do. And thank you for marking my debt paid in full. And Jesus, thank you for marking my debt paid in full, because you were willing to go to the cross and pay the price that I deserve. Let's pray. Father, I hope I did what you called me to do here today. I hope in some small way that your message was clear, that it touched someone's heart here today, God, to know how special moms are, and that a mom that serves you, God, is the best mom to have. And that they're willing to make that sacrifice, that they're willing to love us and forgive us of all the things that we do. All we need to do is this, just like you, come to you, Jesus, and say, forgive me. I love you. So Lord, I just ask that you continue to bless this church, bless the people here in the church, strengthen them, reveal yourself more to them in a powerful way. We thank you and we love you. In Jesus' name, amen.